All right. Good day, kids. I'm Kevin.
And I'm Madeline.
And we're here to try to do some strides on catching up again. Perhaps. That's not bad. I mean, we've done 2 in 2 weeks, which is good. I mean, if we're supposed to do 2 a month, make some serious inroads. And depending on what happens today with the weather, we may get some time to work on another one. We'll see. But this is a pretty good move so far. I'm liking our chances. Maybe we'll get another one read today. I think we're a little lighter on a couple of titles anyway. But we're going to try to discuss, for those of you looking around, Archer and Armstrong 5, which is the launch of the Eternal Warrior, Bloodshot 6, along with Shadow Man 2. Then we're going to take a brief look back at some old Silver Age stuff. I do want to get to Fantastic Four 6. We haven't talked a lot about Silver Age, and it's been on there, sort of connected. I'm going to do some more tangential references and general talking about it versus the issue itself. But if you've got a copy of Magnus Robot Fighter 7 with the Rye Flipbook 3, I would go get those.
Magnus Robot Fighter.
Yeah, those aren't hard to find, and I think the read is pretty dang brilliant. Again, a lot more tangential talking with this, but let's talk about these. Some real hiccups in the line this month. let's hear your one-word reviews on them, Mads. Don't even tell me the title. Just flip through them and give me your one-word reviews on New Universe. Go.
Stupid, stupid, stupid,
okay. Which is the strongest, and I'm not as harsh as Madeline. There was one of her stupids that I wouldn't say I loved, but I thought was decent. A bad cover, but
yeah.
I'm not as harsh as stupid. Okay, but we're feeling the punches this month. So, well, I think we're.
Really?
I mean, let's not even delve there and. And in defense, there's one cool cover coming up. This is not the cool cover. Although, well, we'll talk to that. We'll talk to that. Let's talk first about Valiant stuff. Where you want to go first? Archer and Armstrong, Bloodshot, or Shadow Man? Okay, let's go Archer and Armstrong. Second.
Out of the package.
Yeah, out of the wrap. This is the...
I just read this by Penn.
Yeah, Mads is fresh on it. What's your feeling here, dude? Okay. All right. Let's see. Why did you like about it?
Because his brother came back.
Right.
And I thought that we finally get the reason why he's named the Eternal Warrior.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
That's nice. Good point.
And
here.
The fact that he wants to, you know, quote unquote, kill his own brother to avenge the Geomancer,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's pretty cool. But the fact that I thought one of the coolest parts about this was the fact that some people were talking in a different language,
mm-hmm.
And then the kid's like, screw this, I'm getting out of here now.
Yeah, I thought that was great. I thought that was one of the better parts of it. And this book on the boards, Matt, got a lot of criticism. People were heaping hate upon it. Ah, this is terrible. I hate it. Blah, blah, blah. This is the worst thing I ever heard. But then in the 6th one, they're coming back to it. And almost in retrospect from this, a lot of people are coming back and talking about the Eternal Enemy possible connections here that are coming up. You know, and the real history of the links here. And I have to say, this looks to be, and I'm no history buff, I have to turn to a few people in here, it feels very researched and very practiced. I think it keeps a lot of...
But I'm wondering what happened to the third one. That's fine.
Oh, well, I mean, there are actually some preliminary sketches that have been released about the Time Walker, suggested stuff on here, so my guess is it's somewhere in the workings. But
I think that would be cool to add the third brother in.
I think it could be good.
See which side he would be on.
You never
like,
got...
Like the parents of the Ravens and the the coaches of the Ravens and the 49ers. Yeah. Yes. Who are they going to root for?
So we are recording this on the Monday, on the morning of Super Bowl Sunday.
Who are they going to root for?
Right, and my favorite bet out there is still, will they wear the split jerseys rooting for both? That's wonderful. But you've got a... I think there's a lot of meat to this. And not just the story itself and the background. I think it's light. I think it's active. I think the humor is fantastic. I think it's well written. I think it's got action in it. It's not as wise, I think, as the last few. But some of it's a little more, you know, you are very fat, double fare. That, I think that was funny. But I think that's part of the beauty of the old Archer and Armstrong was that back and forth. And right now, at least, right now, at least, it feels like it has this. And I'm not one to criticize this particular comic. There were other Archer and Armstrongs that I was not a big fan of, as this one. I think this one's good. I wouldn't say the strongest.
Dad, you said it was good.
I know. I did say it was good. But I backed up those reasons. I said the lighter humor. I also particularly love the fact that Archer realizes he cannot beat Gilad in a fight and uses Aikido, the defensive martial art, to just flip him into the bin.
Just like, goodbye.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then that bin is moved into the water.
I can't beat you, so goodbye.
Right. And that's smart. He may not be as good a fighter, but he's, at this point at least,
smarter.
Using a wiser warrior type move.
He's smarter.
Right.
It's like Athena versus Ares, and I'm sorry that I'm making a...
Make it!
Making a reference to
make
mythology
it.
Right now, but it's like Athena versus Ares. It's Ares can usually beat Athena in a war, but she has better battle strategy.
Right.
And she knows whether or not she can beat that person. Ares just goes into it and is like, hi-ya, I killed you.
Right. Right. And that's, I think, what Gilad looks at. And let's be frank here. I mean, he is a strong dude. And one of my favorite battles is who would win in a fight. And this is, you know, your classic, who would win in a fight? Batman or Wolverine kind of thing. And this is, you know, Armstrong or Eternal Warrior, and ooh. Almost...
No, Dad, it's not like Batman or Wolverine. Mm-hmm. It's like Ravens coach or 49ers.
Oh, God. Cyclical talk here. But I think it is a strong comic. It is light and hard at the same time, and it pays beautiful homage to the old... line. Yeah, really.
I like that word.
I think it's nice. What about the lead-in? I mean, the next month is the new Geomancer, and, you know, I'm ahead there, catching up to...
She's pretty.
Yeah, she's pretty. She's peeny. She's so peeny. I like her peeny. She's pretty. It's a beautiful comic. You'll love that one.
She kind of looks like Chris.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A little more put together than Chris, but yeah. What you think of Bloodshot?
Can I see it?
Yeah, no problem.
I know it's old.
Yeah, I'm gonna put the connection out here and go to my review and then talk about it as well.
I read that. Like that was the first one.
Do me a favor and put that one in. Harvest that one back. Yeah, we're over time here. We for some reason we've been like keeping busy with craziness. I don't know. Bloodshot was, you okay?
Just kind of.
You should sleep more.
Well, I didn't go to sleep.
I know, goof.
Till 1:30 the night before.
Okay, well, let's review. The Bloodshot covers, let me start with those.
Wait,
gorgeous.
This is not the one that I read this week.
It is not the one you read this week? What did you read? Well, you need to read that one then. Maybe we'll not talk about it yet, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. Why don't you do a read through on it?
This was not the one that I read this week.
Well, that's the one you should read this week.
I read a different one. You told me to read a different one.
Well, read this one, Goof. This is the one we're talking about. This is what we got. So you take a look through it, and I'll do a little discussion of Old Fantastic Four. How's that sound?
Okay.
Do you want to duck out for a minute and go take a quick flip through? You go
I
do.
I need to read this one this
well,
week.
Go. That's the one we had. Go sit in the dining room or something, and I'm going to keep talking about Fantastic Four. Sort of like a punt here. Let me talk about old Silver Age stuff for a few minutes and put this out there. Because I really wanted to do some strong connections to where we were going. And I think the old Fantastic Four Silver Age stuff, and in this case the connection is Fantastic Four 6, but if you really look through a lot of it, there is a ton of history, not just to the old Valiant, but to comics and where they went from here. And what I want to specifically talk about is the Submariner. I think he's one of the strongest characters in the original Silver Age pantheon, and I think absolutely in the connection of where the direction of the Fantastic Four was going. FF introduced, or reintroduced, I guess I should say, the Submariner back in Fantastic Four 4, so Fantastic Four 4. And the comic is a beautiful one. If you go on to my review there, I talk a lot about why Namor is one of the most interesting characters of this earliest section of the Silver Age. Spider-Man, I think, is absolutely the best, but of everyone else at this point, at least taking it from a writing perspective, I'm not talking about the origins, I'm not talking about where they came from or their unique differences, I'm talking about the writing of the character. The Submariner has such rich strengths. It is a character with a villainy or a history behind him that isn't just, I do bad stuff because I wanna. Sorry, coffee. One of my wonderful addictions. This storyline... And the direction of the Silver Age at this point took a serious turn into greatness with the introduction not only of Namor, but also with Dr. Doom. And Doom is very flat at this point, and probably doesn't get a ton of changeover from that, maybe even until well into the Bronze Age when he gets a little bit more strength behind him. I mean, Magneto's your same kind of way. Started out as, you know, just flat Dullsville, and it wasn't even until, I would say, X-Men 150 that he got any sort of interesting story behind him other than, I do bad stuff now. I mean, the villain has to fail. He's not going to succeed against Fantastic Four. But there's so much greatness in this Origins. And balancing it out with Magnus, which is, in my mind, some of the strongest comics ever written. There is greatness within those first two story arcs. That back and forth there, and a real on par or balance establishment of characters that you don't feel like you have to look at or through or behind the curtain to see anything in them. It's all there. And it's very, on balance, torn. And I found myself really ripping and tearing back and forth with all of these. Two beautiful storylines. And if you want to have some absolute greatness, I would strongly encourage you trying to get your whole hands on those original eight Magnus Robot Fighters, which are brilliant, perhaps the best in the pre-Unity age, two awesome arcs that both introduce that perilous question, what is life, and this free will notion, but as well, the obligation or duty role of Rai, and sets up beautifully for what will become the tragic hero of the most important part of the original Valiant line, the Unity storyline, leading up to his death. And I can remember reading that and thinking, okay, wait a minute, something must happen with the time stream or the timeline or whatever, and it being such an important character and interesting the way it was really destroyed. So if you have an opportunity or an option, I would strongly recommend getting back onto those. you know, Silver Age stuff very early, very important for the closure of story in each episodic nature. Let's close this out. Let's close it out and close it out. But there is a connection here from Fantastic Four 5, which is Doctor Doom, up through 6, which is Doom plus Submariner, and Submariner being in the 4th issue of the comic. So, really important books, both in those. And not to deprecate the new Valiant either. This second arc of Archer and Armstrong introducing Eternal Warrior, and I would say more than certainly one of the most important characters of that Valiant era, the original Valiant era, the 90s Valiant. And, you know, he's introduced in passing or in cameos in the earlier ones, but not really as who he is until this 5th issue. And a beautiful set of covers there. Let me go on to that. Oops, got a wrong connection here. I gotta change that over. Now, I'm not jumping for joy about the... sorry, I'm republishing here something. I'm double-checking as I'm talking. I'm not super thrilled about the pull box cover. Mads even said to me, oh gosh, thank goodness I don't have to hold that one with the ugly face version. And maybe a little bit too harsh on there. But the regular cover is a fantastic one. Now, let me put it on the side here and say this. I hate the 1 in 20, 1 in 50 covers that go together. If you're going to have them, have one as a 1 in, have them both as a 1 in 25, but alternating. So there's a pair out there for everybody. I really think the doubling up of that decreases the value of that 1 in 20. The 1 in 50 becomes the version that you want. I can't see anyone being like, okay, now that I have this cover of just these two characters, I won't pursue the other one. That one's a waste. Or at the same time, one copy of the 1 in 50 and two copies of the 1 in 20 seems pretty equally stupid, too. But that's my opinion on that. Sounds like somebody's coming over here again. Hey, Mads. What you think of Bloodshot? Let's get back to that.
I liked it. It was good.
I liked it. It was good. Give me some opinions on it, okay? You just read it, so take a look over that. I'm going to pass it over to you. I've been boring people for long enough. What you think?
I liked the fact that once the lines were down, they couldn't, like, do anything before. Thingies, whatever you want to call them, bionic things. And the gamma coming back thing was kind of a turn of events for me, because I was like, what?
Where'd she come from?
And then the fact that I like the, this is kind of a girl power thing for me.
No, go.
I like that Kara killed the people.
Her involvement at the end.
And just by kneeing him in the face. I knee you in the face and you die now.
You are gone.
You die now. And then the kid is kind of creepy. Especially this picture right here.
Coming back to the boogeyman at the end?
This picture right here, the kid's creepy. And that's not the boogeyman.
No, but I think they've been trained that it was. Either told that it was, or introduced that it was, or given a background to attack him if they need to. Pass it over to me. I want to make a few references in there. It's been a little longer since I've read it. I didn't just get the opportunity to read it. In my mind, I think it's one of the strongest. I'm sorry. One of the strongest comics so far. I might even call it the strongest of the Bloodshot line. That was my knee-jerk reaction when I initially read it. It is active and interesting. And one of the most beautiful things about it, I like, is the connection to that inner self that where he talks before of that kid voice in his head.
I like the making fun of Justin Bieber.
Well, yeah. Okay. Mads is not a JB fan. I do like the setups almost, and the continuations, but I also like Recon guy, where he's fighting him at the end and breaking his arms and seeing how well he can fight, taking all of those changes, and it still just gets to a point where Bloodshot destroys him with his broken body.
Yeah. Broken.
Yeah, the bone sticking out, and it goes into him. I mean, it's violent and graphic without showing every bit of it, although it's still pretty stinking graphic. And I love the "must be tough to breathe with all that blood gushing down your throat" line. I mean, this is harsh, and I think the art is gorgeous.
I love the art.
And also, I do like the fact that Bloodshot, through most issues, loses so much protein mass that he, you know, skins down or gets smaller and smaller as he's rebuilding.
The art in that comic is I love. That's probably the best art because it changes and it rearranges. And when different things are going on, they change the art. You know?
Well, I do like those two perspectives on there. But it's a darned awesome comic. Something that I can get into. Something that I can really have a brilliant feel for. And Bloodshot was not one of my favorites earlier. And, you know, take this in the writer way. I wouldn't say I hated it, but If I was dropping a comic...
The art was always good.
Well, yeah. But if I was going to drop one of these up until this issue, it would have been this one. And at this
if
point...
If you had to. You
well, know. If I didn't want to buy them anymore, if I was like, you know what, this is done. If I got to there, I'd say, well, you know what, I think I'm kind of finished with this. Oh, gosh, be careful. Can you pass that to me so you don't crease the spine there, Mads? Okay. Need to try... Come here. Come here.
I almost got it.
I understand. The almost got it is the most dangerous part, though. You're holding it in totally the wrong place here.
I am.
Okay, well then why are you still tearing if you're still holding it in the wrong
place?
Got it. Okay, take it out, and then I want to show you something.
I know, I can't hold it on
no,
the
No, look on the left-hand side. You bent it on the spine. Okay.
Doesn't look like it.
Right here. Right there. Oh no, you didn't. You were... Yes, it didn't leave a mark. You were bending it there, but it didn't leave any spine mark. Got to be careful.
I was holding it in the middle.
Well, you were pushing down at the corner. That's what I was concerned about. I was seeing a bend on the spine. Looks okay.
This was the first one I read.
That was the first one you read, The Shadow Man. Let me talk a second about Shadow Man. I'm really...
And I read half of this, and you were like,
okay.
I like this one. Jackie, don't you know that... Possessed is 9/10 of the law.
No. What did you think about Shadow Man? I guess we're going there. Let's go. What's your feeling about it?
The little thingy with teeth was creepy.
Gotta be more specific. The thing.
The little thingy. No, the little thing. The little caterpillar looking thing.
Oh, the thing that was inside of him?
Yeah. It was creepy.
Okay.
And then this guy has a million eyes. Face is weird, but he just kills the tailor guy, and that was stupid. Why did you just kill him?
I think because he knows about him now.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
I mean, that's
okay.
That was the sense I got from it.
Okay. And then I like the fact that he thought that it was dreams. He had bad dreams about... being in the orphanage. Bad dreams about being in the orphanage. And then... Okay. The fact that he would have a sister, and then he got shot. He got shot, but then he was like, oh no, I'm getting shot. And then he was like, it was just a hallucination, you know? But then he saw that there was bullet holes in the back of his shirt, and he was like, I'm losing my mind.
Yes.
But he doesn't say I'm losing my mind, he has another word. And then, the fact that the statue thing talks. Okay, I'm boring you right now, I bet.
Well, it's... Well, come to where you're talking about, and then tell us what you think here.
The fact that the statue thing talks and then the guy kills him was kind of creepy. It's just... The statue thing talks is creepy enough, and then the guy can kill the statue.
Oh.
It just made it, like, 10 times creepier. And then... this part was kind of boring for me.
What part?
Just the part where he met Alyssa.
Oh, he didn't like that?
It was kind of, it's just like that, what moment, you know, like, what, I can do this? But I did like this part. Where do you think you're going? Lunch. It's 10. Brunch. I like that. And then... Yeah, I'm boring you right now.
You're just wandering, Matt. It's okay.
Yeah. And then... Yeah, that's it.
Okay, well... Mm-hmm. let me take over a little bit and talk about where I am here. It's okay. Honey, it's okay. I was okay with the comic. It wasn't like... my super mega favoritist comic ever.
No.
But I didn't hate it
That's
either.
That's why I was being boring.
Well, I think we're just
really,
we're dancing around a lot of things here. It was interesting enough to me. It wasn't horrendous. In fact, there were some things that I really liked about it.
Nothing could be as bad as Kickers. That's
well,
horrendous.
No, well, we'll slam on that a little bit. But I did not hate this comic. I thought it was decent, enjoyable. But, you know, don't take that in the wrong way. I kind of rolled with what was happening, and that's fine. I don't always have to love a comic. In fact, I can see myself looking back on this in a few weeks and thinking, oh, all right, that was okay, this is why this happened, or...
Yeah, once you read the next comic, you finally understand.
Right, there might be some super important stuff
connected
back to all of this that could make a lot more sense. And I don't not see or don't see this yet. A lot of this here is the characterization of it. I think that's very important, that driving character nature of this comic. And I think there is a ton to that. There's a lot of development here. But also, I have to respect the fact that those little cliffhangers introduced at the end of last comic were resolved quickly. It was just like, okay, let's go with this, and done. We're done with that, and we'll move on to the next thing. And it doesn't have this strong hyperbole or background or whatever. And I do love the character nature of it. So, I guess I'm torn. I don't know if I love it or hate it, but I guess I'm okay either way. And that's alright. There's something to be said for both sides of something like that. So,
yeah.
It seems like it's moving in the right direction.
Last issue was kind of the introducing issue.
Mm-hmm.
Introducing to all the...
Right.
Characters and their problems, you know.
Yeah, I don't hate it. That's not at all. But I also like the fact that there's something else behind the veneer of this that I might see eventually. And I love the art. You know, you were saying about Archer and Armstrong being your favorite. This, I think, is my favorite of the art. I think it is brilliant. I will send out those compliments. I actually tweeted to Patrick Z at the end of this. The mirror shot is one of the most brilliant ones I've seen in a comic. And, you know, like, favorited it or something, whatever. I mean, it was like a, oh, thanks, kind of thing. But I truly believe that the strongest part of this, and the writing is very good, is the art. And that's saying something for it. So, I liked it.
The writing is usually the best part.
Yeah, usually in these, the feeling is when the writing is the excellent part. So, we've talked about the new Valiants all through. Anything else you want to add about Shadow Man, or do you want to go to Heaping Abuse on New Universe?
Heaping Abuse on New Universe.
All right, let's talk briefly about Kickers Incorporated. I don't want to dwell for a five-minute rant about how much it stinks. Go.
It's a five-minute rant.
No five-minute rants. You don't even need to... Really? You don't need to reference this?
It stunk.
It stunk. It's terrible. It's not interesting. The only
there
part,
was a murder at the circus. Her.
The only part I liked about it was when he felt bad about killing.
The lion.
That was the only decent part.
The lion
part.
Wasn't even white. The cover doesn't make any sense.
I thought it was white.
No, I don't think so.
I think it was. Pass me that bag over for Shadow Man, Mitz. Send it over. Yeah.
I think it was white.
I think it had a name to it. Snow or something like that.
I think his name was actually the white lion. Not exactly sure. Oh yeah, it was white.
See?
It didn't look white in the pictures.
Alright.
She was weird.
As much as I did not like Kickers, and I did not like Kickers, I thought it was bad. I thought it was not the worst of this month.
Oh. This was... That was bad. Having the wolf person.
Yeah, that was... I thought the worst of this month was Justice.
Oh.
Yeah, I thought it was vomity. I don't get it. Maybe there's some deep sense of Mullet Man that I don't get. But the back and forth between that other world and...
Oh my God,
shooting lasers
so
out of his hands. I mean, it's like
And then Becky being the daughter of the stupid emperor guy.
I don't get that.
And then...
I don't get it.
Her having the gun and not even knowing why she has it. Right. I have this gun, and I know how to use it, but I don't know why I have it.
I don't know what in the world is going on. It seems really stupid.
It's just like, I have this gun, but I don't know how... I have this gun, and I know exactly how to use it, but I have no idea why I have it.
Didn't get it. I don't get it. Let's talk the other one, and then we'll talk... we're going to talk Starbrand first, and then Nightmask. Go to Starbrand.
Stupid cover.
The cover, I agree. Was bad.
Why is she wearing a pretty dress when she's got all this?
Yeah, I don't know.
Why?
But I didn't even think it looks like her as a character. I thought the Romita art was so different. I didn't even know
It doesn't look like. It looks like some famous person who's got.
Her name's Duck, right?
Yeah, Duck.
I didn't think it looked like Duck at all.
It doesn't look like Duck. Duck has black hair.
Right. And that made me upset. It was sort of looked like he was saving someone. I also didn't like, and I know I said in the Shadow Man comic I liked the resolution. I didn't like how he quickly resolved being lost in space. He was like, oh no, I'm totally lost, but wait.
Here
it is. Found it.
I found the Earth.
Yay, phew. That was way too quick. But I did like the character, and I know you're not a super fan of this issue. I know you don't. I liked it. I felt like it was really connected. I sort of like his back and forth nature of saving.
And then he's gonna let him kill Duck.
That's
what I didn't like.
Oh yeah. See, I know you didn't like that. But for me, he was calling his bluff. He was like, "Okay, kill her. Go ahead." Because if he does something, then they're just going to keep playing this game 1,000 times, over and over and over again, and passing over. And I love that he called it, and that was it. And then he sort of went ape crazy on him. I mean, really pounded this dude to get some things taken care of. Mm-hmm. I liked it. And it's, for me right now, it's easy to see how Starbrand would be rescued from the Great New Universe Massacre. I don't understand how Nightmask was canceled and Justice went on. Don't get it.
Mr. Mullen.
And you know what? Let me say it a different way. I also don't understand. I don't understand more why Spitfire was canceled and Justice continued.
Nightmask was good, and so is Spitfire. I don't understand why they were canceled, and Justice was.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because they sold so many copies because of the covers.
My guess is, the covers on Nightmask, I'm sorry, not Nightmask, on Justice are generally better than the covers on Spitfire. But the stories in Spitfire are way better since about issue 2. The first one was corny and cheesy and stupid. Yeah. But since then, they were pretty good. And my guess is the most people picked up Spitfire because it was the start, and they read it and said, "What in the world is this flaming pile of garbage?" and dropped it like a potato.
Justice, the first issue was actually okay.
Yeah.
That's probably why it went on.
And since then, it's gotten worse progressively.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
I like this.
Yeah, Nightmask cover was actually pretty good. And I do like the changeover in art on Nightmask this time around. Yeah. And the writing also was better. It feels like a book that's been improving. And it wasn't bad in the past. It's been okay. But this was better. Mm-hmm. What's your take on Nightmask? I think it's the last one of the bunch.
I liked that he is the one guy's dream because he was, doing bad things. Because he was doing bad things, he had these terrible dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And Nightmask went into them and he helped him get out of his terrible dreams, you know?
Well, I also like the connection to the finality or the lost inside of a dream if the death occurs there. I mean, that's, I think, where the most potential for the line was. And I can remember seeing these on the shelves and thinking, the only one I'd buy of these is Nightmask. That was the only one that looked interesting to me.
But
and that's too bad. I missed out on some... I missed out on some good comics and many more bad comics so far. But, I think, in this case, the harnessing down to a few titles and doing a couple of pretty brilliant things. And we'll talk about...
TP7 never would have gotten canceled, you know?
I can't imagine TP7 would have been canceled had it existed outside of the new universe. Mm-hmm. I really don't think it would have.
TP7 is a good comic.
Very.
It's good. It's a good comic and it's a good concept, but the rest of them are just...
Well, in between.
The rest of them are either... okay, or terrible.
Well, let's hold off our judgment until we're a little further. I mean, really, we're at issue 7 out of 32 of some of these comics, or 7 out of 19. So we have a long way to go. And even in the early cancels, we're only halfway. So, let's wrap this up, Mads, and maybe try to get another recording a little bit later. It is still snowing outside. Mm-hmm. Snowing its little took us off. So,
always.
Yeah, well, it's not crazy. I think my exercise today is going to be shoveling. Let's wrap it up, and then we can start working on our next stuff while I convert these, okay? So, have a fantabulous day, and
bye-bye.
Go not Ravens, go 49ers.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Sorry, we're from Pittsburgh, and Ravens fans will be offended.
Be offended, Ravens fans, that you exist.
Okay.
All right, bye.
That's so mean.
Yes, it is mean.